It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll take a look at sleep deprivation and the adverse effects it can have on the body and the mind.
First, we take a look at a proposed change to Medicare that would beef up oversight for prescription drugs. Program officials are seeking new powers to better control and potentially bar doctors engaged in fraudulent or harmful prescribing.
And our next guest says it's a dramatic departure for the agency, which historically has been given much higher priority to making medications easily accessible to seniors and the disabled than to weeding out dangerous providers of health care. Joining us now is Charles Ornstein, senior healthcare reporter at ProPublica. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back.
Well, I'm wondering, why is this happening now? Was there a perceived problem that they're trying to fix?
Well, we've been reporting at ProPublica about serious problems in Medicare's oversight of its prescription drug program, which is known as Part D, for many months. We found doctors who prescribed large quantities of risky and inappropriate medications to patients. We found doctors who were prescribing with an extensive dedication to brand name drugs when generics were widely available. And we found doctors whose prescribing patterns suggested that fraud was taking place with their provider IDs, either with their knowledge or without their knowledge. And I think that what we showed was that Medicare has the ability to track a whole lot. They fill one out of every four prescriptions in the country. They cover those, but they weren't doing much to track these sort of issues. So by bringing these issues to light, I think that they now realize they need to do more in this regard.
And with this fraudulent prescribing, is this in some cases doctors making money on the deal, or you mentioned without their knowledge, fraudsters using a doctor's identity to make money by getting these prescriptions?
Well, we've seen examples of both. We've talked to doctors who literally overnight went from having $200,000 in prescriptions attributed to them one year to having $4 million attributed to them the next, who said that they didn't know anything about this, and nobody from Medicare called to ask questions, that their provider identification numbers must have been stolen by somebody and used for drugs which they don't routinely prescribe to their patients. We talked to doctors who saw their prescriptions increase from $2 million a year to $8 million a year. And again, Medicare didn't ask questions. At the same time, we saw examples of physicians and podiatrists that were actively taking kickbacks from pharmacy chains and were convicted or pleaded guilty to charges of accepting kickbacks in exchange for writing prescriptions that were never dispensed but were charged to the Medicare Part D program.
So to enforce this now, what is new that we're hearing from Medicare this week?
Well, there's a couple major new developments. The first is that Medicare is planning to require that any physician who writes a prescription to a patient who's in Medicare Part D, so there's 36 million people, seniors and the disabled, who are in Medicare Part D, they would actually have to be enrolled in the Medicare program. Until now, any licensed provider could write a prescription to a patient in Medicare, and Medicare would fill that, but would have no way of even knowing who they were or if they had action taken against their licenses, that sort of thing. So going forward, Medicare intends to require that physicians who prescribe drugs to patients in the program actually have to be Medicare providers. The second thing is that they are giving themselves additional authority to kick doctors out of the Medicare program if their prescribing patterns appear dangerous or harmful or fraudulent. And so this could mean that they've had action taken against their medical license, a suspension or revocation in any state, if they're licensed in more than one state, for example, or they've had action taken against them by the DEA, or just if Medicare examines their prescribing patterns and trends and finds that they're aberrant or very, very different from their peers. We're not talking about people who are slightly different or who are, you know, just a little bit off. I mean, these are people who are dramatically off, who are prescribing reams of medications that may be inappropriate or harmful or fraudulent to patients.
We're talking orders of magnitude more, it sounds like, not just
Absolutely. A
little bit more here and there.
For sure.
Is there a concern that these enforcement measures might make it more difficult for some people who need medications to get them from the doctors they go to if they get caught up in this umbrella of enforcement?
So the Medicare has issued this as what's called a proposed rule. So that's their standard way of making big changes to the program. So people have an opportunity to comment on it before it goes into effect. But to your question, undoubtedly there will be changes because beginning in January of 2015, assuming this goes into effect as proposed, people who see doctors that are not Medicare providers will either have to have their doctors enroll in Medicare or seek an exception, or they'll have to find a new doctor. But at the same time, you have to think about this from the perspective of patient protection. So just allowing patients to get whatever drugs they want when they want them from any doctor willing to prescribe them may not be in their best interest. And it, in fact, may be in their interest to ensure that there is a consistent level of quality, or at least a minimum standard of quality for those prescribers.
Do we have a sense of how much this has been costing Medicare, and I guess by extension, us?
Right. So the Medicare Part D program costs taxpayers in excess of $60 billion a year. And particularly in cases in which doctors are heavy brand name prescribers, an individual doctor alone can account for as much as $10 million in prescribing in the program. So just making small differences and weeding out prescribers who are vastly different from their peers or who are prescribing in harmful or fraudulent ways can both save the program money but also protect beneficiaries who, you know, may be getting medications that addict them, may be getting medications that endanger their lives, or may just be getting medications that sedate them and put them in chemical comas when those medications may not be appropriate.
So not just costly here, but potentially dangerous for some people.
Unquestionably.
You also, I think, talked to some experts who suggested changes that weren't brought out this week by Medicare. What are some of the other ideas out there when it comes to fighting fraud in Medicare prescriptions?
Well, I think that one of the suggestions that we heard was that doctors should be required to write the diagnosis that they give to a patient on a prescription to ensure that as a pharmacy fills it and as insurance companies pay for it, that there's legitimate reasons that patients are getting prescriptions. And while doctors are certainly entitled to write prescriptions for indications that are not approved by the FDA, and this is a pretty common practice, in fact, there are some things like prescribing Alzheimer's medications to people who have autism, which don't have published research that supports their use, but yet we found an example of a physician who regularly does that. So by being able to understand what doctors are prescribing drugs for, you may be able to have conversations with those physicians or otherwise intervene if there's appears to be an indication of an inappropriate usage. Another one is to match the information that Medicare has in terms of which doctors patients see to information on prescriptions. So if a patient is getting prescriptions from a doctor who is not billing for treating them or in a different city, it may be an indication that Medicare should be asking questions, either because there could be evidence of fraud or that, you know, there may just be inappropriate prescribing or pill mills that are going on that Medicare may be interested in looking at.
So what you've talked about so far that Medicare actually is doing is requiring doctors to be registered with Medicare for Medicare to cover their prescriptions and having the ability to bump doctors out of Medicare for a variety of reasons, fraud, dangerous prescribing. Anything else in the new regulations that is noteworthy?
Yes. I mean, they also plan to change the list of drugs that have requirement that insurers have to cover all the drugs in the class. So these are what are called protected drug classes, and they're intended for drugs that are extremely important for patients and that restrictions that are imposed by insurance companies could harm their ability to access life-saving and very needed medications. But as Medicare has reevaluated this list, they've determined that not all the medications that are currently on the list, for example, antidepressants, need to be on the list. So according to their plan, some of those may be coming off in 2015. That's one thing to look out for.
That would not be all antidepressants. That would be some antidepressants.
It would basically give insurance companies the ability to set their own formularies from insurance company to insurance company and also to impose some restrictions. So for example, on newer antidepressants that would require that are very expensive, that it would permit insurance companies to make their patients perhaps try a generic first or obtain prior approval before they're able to get that medication. So it wouldn't take these medications away from patients. It wouldn't prevent patients from getting them. And in fact, some insurers may decide that they don't want to impose restrictions, but it would give insurance companies more ability to set requirements for coverage in these classes as they would, say, for a cholesterol drug.
So Medicare has floated these changes now. If all holds as it is, when would they go into effect?
So right now they're seeking comments from individuals about the changes, and they would go into effect beginning on January 1st of 2015.
Charles, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me back.
That's Charles Ornstein. He's senior healthcare reporter for ProPublica.